but give me just a minute.
Okay, we're ready.
All right.
7:37.
Tori, what's going on? Are you back in the office, Tori, or is that?
I live at the office.
You are?
Always. I'm there 1 to 2 days a week, depending.
So that's a background, what you're telling me, I love that.
Yeah, it's a background.
Are we gonna continue to do roll call like we used to do? Do we want to continue that in the process? Is that how that's gonna work?
Sure, we can do that.
That would be great, thank you.
Go ahead.
Chair Miller?
I'm here.
Vice Chair Mark May?
Here.
Brittany Davidson Cruikshank?
Here.
Sean Anpom? Max McQuinn, AKA Max?
Nope, Max not here. Okay.
She's not here too.
Kathy?
No, she.
Nope, okay.
Jason Stats?
Here.
Samantha Ross?
Nope.
Michael Ryan?
Here.
Let's make sure we have a quorum.
Five, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it looks like we have 5 out of 9, is that correct?
Yes.
And it looks like we have a new member, Jason, welcome to the group. I was thinking maybe we should just do a quick self-introduction for the people that are here. So Jason Mosler, and then Jason, you can also say a little something about yourself.
Great. I could just start. My name is Jason Stats. I was accepted onto this advisory board as a business owner in West Salem. I own a retail store. I'm a co-owner in a retail store across the street, Vintage and Resale, on Edgewater and McNary. I've got a background in hospitality. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I own several businesses outside of across the street, including a publishing firm, a talent and life management company, and a production company. And there's a little about me.
Thank you, Jason. Brittany, how about you go next?
Hi, Jason. My name is Brittany Davidson Cruikshank. I'm the member services manager at Salem Electric. Nice to meet you.
You too,
Michael.
Brittany.
Hey, I'm Michael Ryan, currently director of sales at Truer Brothers in West Salem, the big factory that's not too far from you guys on Burwell Green and Water Station.
Thank you. Mark?
Yeah, so Mark May. I actually grew up in West Salem, but my position here, I think, is as an at-large member. I have a president of Rain Suite, which owns property in the district. Looking forward to starting another year.
And Jason, again, Jeff Miller, I'm with Coldwell Banker commercial real estate here in town. Mainly, you know, a lot of investments and leasing, retail, that sort of thing, industrial stuff. And I've been on the board for a few years now. And also really involved with the chamber and just other things, West Salem football, things of that nature. So West Salem resident and so welcome, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Has everyone had the opportunity to look at the agenda for the day? There was a new one that was sent out, I believe yesterday afternoon or yesterday one point by Tori. Adding an action item number 4. Just want to make sure everyone saw that. And if so, we'll entertain a motion to approve.
I'll motion to approve the agenda as is.
And a second by Michael. Thank you. Any discussion? With no hands up, all in favor, please raise a hand or say aye.
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 Any opposed? Nope, moving forward, okay. Approval of minutes, hopefully everyone had an opportunity to check out the minutes from last month. If so, again, would entertain a motion to approve.
This is Brittany, I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Mark May, thank you both. Any discussion?
I will abstain because I was not there.
Okay. Well, then all, okay, so just so we're clear on this, because now four, we don't have quorum, is that
We do. Your problem? We have quorum.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay. All in favor, please say aye, raise your hand. Aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you. Well, with that, we are moving forward with action item number four, Riverland Institute Technical Assistant Panel, to better understand redevelopment potential. So Tori, I'm going to hand this over to you, and
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, so what I said over yesterday was just a brief summary of how this relates to their renewal plan, and then the attachment included the background on the project itself. So as you know, the urban renewal plan was established in 2001. From that time to 2013, funds were raised and initial projects were completed. An action plan was conducted through 2014 to 2015 to gather market analysis and determine the next priorities for the urban renewal area. Recommendations like the zone code cleanup effort and the extension of the Second Street have been completed, and Second Street's in its design phase. So those things are moving forward. So what this project intends to do is kind of give us a transition, just an update from the action plan. So those of you not familiar, the Urban Land Institute is a renowned nonprofit organization. It's been around a long time, since 1936. It's a technical assistance panel that'll be reviewing, this one specifically Northwest. What they'll be doing is looking at the West Salem urban renewal area, specifically the industrial geographical area, and provide recommendations. Again, based on, you know, the zone code cleanup effort that we made, there's the comprehensive plan effort underway as well. So it's a chance to get a glimpse of what, you know, from a technical advisory perspective, from people, experts in the Northwest, coming in with a fresh take of West Salem, and bring that, you know, gathering that information along with it to see, you know, what are the near-term possibilities and potential long-term possibilities for development and redevelopment. So this isn't new, they do this all the time. Some of the communities that, for abbreviation, ULI Northwest has assisted with is Bellevue, Beaverton, Everett, Hillsborough, Seattle, Spokane, Tacoma. So it's just a neat opportunity. It's a nonprofit. Most of the expenses, as I noted in here, it's $24,000 to have them pick this up as a technical assistance panel. It's really paying for expenses and putting the recommendations. They'll be traveling. We'll do site tours. There'll be interviews. So there'll be a lot of engagement over this process. It'll be really quick too. It'll be 3 or 4 months. So within that period of time, they'll come in and get a sense of the area. We'll share information with them as well. They'll come in and do interviews. A lot of that will probably be virtual, but we will hopefully have a, you know, it'll be wintertime, but it'll be nice to have them in person do the tour of the area. And then they'll provide a presentation and recommendations and report at the end of it. Anyone have any questions?
Is this group also doing things for other
renewable
areas?
So I don't know the technical assistance panel for downtown. At the time, Salem had the Boise site that was a transitioning industrial area. So that's kind of how it's similar to the West Salem or renewable area. They have done other, like I mentioned, Beaverton, Hillsborough. So they've touched on other rural areas, but at this time, West Salem would be the specific focus for this effort.
Yes, sir.
Tori, curious to know, how was this particular nonprofit organization chosen? Has the city of Salem worked with them in the past? I see just from a quick Google search that there are several competitors that also do the same work that they do. And I was just curious about a little bit of background of how this is being presented to us without other options.
Yeah, I think mostly given the history and also the work that they were involved in the broader Salem area with that former Boise site that's now a multi-family mixed use. Longevity, expertise, availability too. They were able to jump on it and provide services right away. It's a lower figure amount, so it's not one that has to be out to the public necessarily. It's just the focus that they provide is a nonprofit. Annie recommended it, and I don't know if you have anything that you want to add as far as selecting them to do the effort.
So the city is a member of ULI, so as a result, we can take advantage of things like these panels. Their members are quite vast, so they have, as Tori mentioned, because we have the opportunity to do this virtually, we can draw from developers and other real estate professionals, as they mentioned, as far as Canada. So I'm not aware of another organization that has that breadth, as well as being members. This is a benefit to us. While there is a cost, this is something that we have access to as a member. So
I would say typically these type of services would be a lot more than $24,000. So we're accessing a lot of information, a lot of knowledge for a lower price point, basically.
Great. Thank you for the background. And I have no doubt that everyone in the office has done their due diligence on this. I just thought I would ask the question because I don't know much about it. As a former resident of Boise, Idaho, and have also been conducting business in that city and the surrounding Treasure Valley area for over 8 years now, I would say that some of the urban renewal development and as I have not seen the report that the ULI completed, Boise has some interesting challenges with traffic, and so I'd be and some of the development pieces that they've conducted, and so I'm just kind of interested to you know, I haven't seen a former report and whatnot. So is that Boise report available to this board, just in case we wanted to see?
Boise. Yeah, sorry for the confusion. Boise is an old industrial site. It's actually directly across from City Hall. So Boise is a paper manufacturer. It's not...
Oh, you're talking about Boise, sorry. Cascade. Okay. Oh,
yeah, Boise Cascade. The redevelopment project.
Sorry, oh, okay.
It's possible that the ULA has done a study in Boise, Idaho.
Right.
The folks that we talked to about this panel or the technical assistance panel in West Salem offered to send us any reports or any additional information that the board would be interested in. So we can certainly ask for a formal report, whether it's from Boise, Idaho, or another comparable city. Happy to share that if that's of interest of the board.
And the links, there's a lot.
Boise on the riverfront here in Salem is also available.
Annie, I think, and Toria, I think that would be great for the board to have access to this, to some of those other reports from comparable cities, just so that we have a baseline of what we should be expecting from the report that they'll do for the city of Salem and West Salem.
Yeah, they have most of their reports are available online, so I can send the link out to the group that has that.
Any other questions for Tori or Annie? So can I understand it for the rebuttal to take action with a vote on this, is that correct?
Right, and I put draft language in the summary that I sent out yesterday at the top. So you can reference that or make your own. That was just to help guide the conversation and the recommendation.
Well, that said, then is there a a motion to approve the ULI technical assistant panel for West Salem redevelopment advisory. West Salem, people are, I should say.
Motion to approve.
I'll second. Brittany.
Second by Brittany. Any further discussion between Mark or Jason? No? With that said, all in favor of approval, please say aye. Raise your hand. Nothing opposed, therefore motion passes. Thank you, Tori.
I'll send this link out to you after the meeting.
Okay. So I'll hear that correctly, Jason. Tori's going to send out a link to see past work and things of that nature. You probably know that stuff. Next one on the agenda is we have a visitor, Daniel Moore from Deakin Construction. Thank you for joining us this morning. And you were going to chat with us a little bit about your downtown project with the Nordstrom building and kind of where you're headed and what your thoughts are. So the floor is yours. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me. Yeah, my name is Dana Moore. I'm actually the new development manager here at Deakin Development, and we're doing the new apartment building project on 420 Center Street, which is, like you'd said, the Nordstrom building that's currently there. Not sure how much background everybody has, so I'll just give a brief summary of everything, but essentially we're taking down the old Nordstrom building, which has been derelict for, you know, since I believe 2018. And we'll be completely redeveloping the site. I'll bring up some photos here. Hold on one second. Can everybody see that?
Not yet. I'm making sure that you're co-host. Just a second.
Oh, yeah. It's not allowing me to share at this point.
Yeah,
just let me know when that comes up. I'll keep talking about it. So
okay.
We've been moving forward. There was definitely a slowdown period with COVID, but we are back at full steam ahead. We've submitted for all of our permits with land use.
Dana, sorry to interrupt your co-host now. Sorry about that.
Okay. All right, is that visible for everybody?
Not yet.
Okay, I think I got it.
There we go. Yeah, we're going.
All right. So this is a perspective of the building, looking obviously from the corner. We've submitted for all of our permits, land use, building department, site, public works. So we're in the midst of that storm and proceeding as quickly as we possibly can. We're expecting to have approvals to be able to start construction sometime mid to late spring of 22. That's where we're at this point. This is a 157 unit apartment building, no mixed use. It's apartments on the ground floor as well. Let me pull up another photo for you guys for the ground floor. So this was the perspective looking at this corner entry that you were looking at previously. We've got a mix of studios, one bedroom and two bedroom apartments. Target audience was a younger, middle income crowd. So the price point is something where we're going to be able to keep the costs down and affordable for those. But at the same, the flip side, we're offering high end finishes and amenities so that people basically get the best of both worlds with this. We're going to have off-street parking. We'll have 18 parking spaces. So you'll be coming through basically a tunnel here, and we'll have 18 parking spaces. We're offering amenities for long-term, short-term bike parking, as well as in our lobby area in this multi-purpose room. We're going to have the ability for, or I apologize, the TV is out here in the lobby, and that will be showing regular feeds of the bus line, real-time bus lines, bicycle rentals located nearby, anything to encourage people to be using mass transit. We're also going to be working with the city to try to facilitate parking passes at other nearby parking structures so that we're basically just trying to make sure adding all these people here, the ones that aren't going to be commuting by foot or by public transit, isn't going to be causing any kind of a choke off downtown with parking. Get some other views for you guys. So this is an interior view. Obviously, this is a fake view because we would be standing inside of a neighboring building. We've tried to maximize the glazing as much as possible for the street side, for all sides, really. We've got the bump outs and balconies to add the architectural interest. Exterior finishes are going to be fiber cement panels with textured metal and then concrete and concrete tile at the base. So yeah, if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer whatever I can for you.
And thank you for jumping in here and showing us these pictures. One, I think this is a really interesting new thing for downtown. I think it's pretty exciting, frankly. It was a little bummer, certainly, to my family when Orchard's left. And so it was interesting to see what was going to take place here. And so in other words, when I look at the corridor, this building is not at all connected with the one picture. So in other words, the building will be completely disconnected from Salem Center, is that correct? There's no access into the Salem Center?
That is correct. I mean, this, where my cursor is going right now, these are the buildings. So when you're in here, I mean, it'll be, you'll be in a bowl because these will be the existing buildings that we're building up next to. So yes, there will no longer be a connection, and that includes the Sky Bridge. That will be coming down as well, that's connected across here.
And you said that you were planning to start the demolition late spring of 22, is that correct?
The demolition's a little bit up in the air. We're still locking in our general contractor right now, and we'll put aside the Sky Bridge because that's a completely different animal in itself. There's multiple owners and interests. But as far as the Nordstrom building, it's possible that we can get our demolition permit before we get all of our other permits. So it is likely that we could be able to take that down if that works. But that we don't know entirely right now because we also want to work with the city to make sure the timing of it's right. Because once we start doing that, we have to start fencing off sidewalks and everything. So we'll figure out what's in the best interest for everybody as far as a demo is going to be happening at the same time or sooner than the rest of the building.
I certainly have a couple more questions, but I want to make sure that everyone else has an opportunity. And Jason, I see that you were unmuted. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I was just kind of curious. And this is I don't have a lot of background in this area, but is this development seeking any type of LEED certification? What is the energy efficiency impact environment? Of this building and adding these residents to the downtown core?
Right. Yeah. No, that's a great question. No, there will not be any LEED certifications on it. However, that said, it will be following all current energy codes. So it will be a highly energy efficient building when it's all said and done, just based on regular energy codes. But we will not be looking for any certification beyond that.
Thank you.
A quick question, just on the market. This is entirely apartments and no retail on the ground floor, as I heard you say. And I'm just, I have no opinion on that. I'm just curious what your market study said. And, you know, obviously this has been a highly commercial retail type environment in the past, and wondering what developers see in downtown Salem going forward.
Yeah, actually, and this was before I came to Deakin Development, but I know that an independent economic study was done on that very point, and COVID did have a massive hit on the retail in this area. And the study was showing that it was getting hit even prior to that, but the study was showing that the need for this type of housing in this area was paramount, and so that's where we made the choices that we did on that.
David, do you have any information that you can disclose to us as far as what you are anticipating rents to be for the studio two-bedroom?
You know, I don't have the exact dollar figures. I can get that to you guys as soon as I'm able to. I just know that we are trying to work to get them at, like I was saying earlier, at an affordable price point that will be conducive for those middle-income, younger crowd, and as well as elderly that are retired, you know, because they're generally wanting a little bit lower income too, and it'll be a nice choice for them as well because of the high-end finishes and amenities that are provided. I forgot to mention too, we do also, we're going to be redoing the entire right-of-way on the outside. We're in negotiations right now with Public Works on what they want for that. But basically whatever they're wanting, we're going to be offering. And we also are going to be having a roof deck up top with fire pits and tables and chairs, and potentially some kind of a, we might expand the size of this to have some kind of a gaming area for things like cornhole or the rope toss and all that kind of stuff.
Are you able to disclose what this capital outlay is and what kind of dollar figure is being infused into the reconstruction of this building?
You know, I would have to get back to you on that. I would have to talk with Ian in our group. I do not know the answer to that at this point.
Sure.
But I can get you that.
Brittany, you're unmuted. Did you have a question?
Oh, yeah, I was trying to count from the pictures. How many stories is it? Is it five stories with the rooftop or four?
It is five stories with the rooftop deck on top of the fifth story, yes.
Okay, thank you.
And it's a it's wood frame construction with bottom floor slab on grade wood frame construction.
Dan, are you allowed to share these slides with Tori? Can it be public since it's going through the planning stage or through that?
I believe so. I'll check with my team to make sure. I don't see why there's any problem with that. They're in at the city, and as far as I know, that's public at that point. So we're very excited to let the public see it. So I can definitely, these are actually permit drawings. You can see the signatures, the architect's signature. They were the freshest and newest that just came out late last week. So I'll probably put together a better packet for you, but that does include all the floor plans, site plan, roof deck, and perspectives. Yes, absolutely.
That'd be great. I'm not sure that I'm the only one that's interested in just kind of following that and tracking it. Our world is pretty interesting when commercial buildings come down and something else goes up in its place, regardless of what it is. It's always a pretty fascinating thing. And knowing what that economic impact is as far as the amount of money that's being infused into that area is always really something of interest to me as well. So Tori, can you follow up with Dana on that?
Yeah, sure.
Well, without any other questions, Dana, that's really interesting. Thank you for sharing and joining us this morning. You're welcome to stay on the call, but you might not find it as interesting as the rest of us. Your choice.
Yes, it was a pleasure coming on and meeting all of you guys. I probably will jump off, as you can imagine, I do have a lot to keep going on this project as well as a couple others. So, yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you again. Have a great day.
All right, you guys.
Thank you, David.
Have a great day.
Thank you. I'm going to just address real quickly, if I could, with the group. Last month, we had a letter that was submitted to us. It was not a letter that we took action on. But I want to just follow up with the group, because it dawned on me when I saw this update again, that letter was attached again. And while we're not taking an action item on it, it seems like there should be a communication back to them to say that we received it and that sort of thing. So, Tori, is there a community?
Yeah, sure. So that's included as part of the minutes because it was submitted to the meeting. So that's the only reason why that's attached. Yeah, Marvin, we've been talking to Marvin. I let him know. Unfortunately, we had a YouTube technical issue during that meeting. So I shared the recording of the meeting with him. So we've been going back and forth. Engaging with him on the topic.
I just think it's important that we respond to him either as a, you know, from someone from the city or myself or whoever is bothering. But Marvin has reached out to me on occasion, and I think it's important that we keep the lines of communication open with him. Just need to leave that in and you are right.
Sure.
All right, moving on. Update on the project, ODOT, Wallace Road, Northwest Paving Access Improvement Sign, discussions, others.
Okay. Sure. So, for those of you that were with us, we had Carol and Leia with ODOT update us on the paving project. They term it as Oregon 221 Mission C Lane to Edgewater Street. So it's a long paving, repaving and accessibility project that I'm sure that you're aware of if you travel Wallace. There's been a lot of work on the flashing beacons for along the corridor where pedestrians can cross. So they'll continue that work. So this is just an update. Michael, I think you brought it up last meeting. So I reached out to Leia. I subscribed to the updates from Ohio. You can select the region. You'll get, I think I send out weekly emails. So that's something that I can send to the group too if you're curious, you want to know the status. So what Leia provided, she said that paving north of Orchard Heights complete, permanent striping should start in the next 2 weeks. The work will occur at night. Until then, night crew is completing utility adjustments with the new pavement. Daytime signal work, specifically at River Bend, along with ADA corrective work north of Orchard Heights, should ramp up towards the end of the month. And then when I had the email update from on the project, they listed, let's see here. So it just talks about the ADA curb ramp improvements, installing rapid flashing beacons. That continues. Within this next week, we'll see signal and feature, they refer to it RFBs, the flashing beacons, shoulder closures, intermittent lane restrictions, daytime sidewalk and curb work, night work with lane closures. So again, most of the traffic disruptions will occur at night with the bigger parts of the project. So that's what I got from Matt. Happy to answer questions or relay questions to Leia if I can't answer.
Sounds like it's on track.
Yeah, sounds like
the biggest thing that we've making sure of.
I'm sure we'll hear about it. There'll probably be more interest as it gets closer to the bridgeheads, Edgewater, that part. So far, they've been doing a lot of the work out north. So I'm sure as it gets towards, you know, where the traffic gets congested, hopefully the night work will continue and, you know, people won't feel too much of a disruption, but it's a possibility.
Well, I'll tell you what, we are a lively group, myself included, and we've written through this agenda, which isn't bad because I do have another meeting at 8:30. I sent it to both Mark and Tori. So sounds like we're not going to have a lot of being done, and given the gift of time that everyone is on the call here. So unless there's any other discussion for the GoDot or questions for Mark, Jason?
Mark? I'm here.
Well, we'll move on in the agenda. Is there anything from West Salem Business Association, Samantha, that sent out a message apologizing she was not able to get on this morning, and promises that she'll be at the next meeting? She's generally our West Salem Business Association conduit, so Susan's not here unless someone else can jump in and speak to that.
We had a meeting yesterday, but there's not really much to report. We talked briefly about the homeless camp that will be going in at 2700 Wallace Road, and just kind of what we've been hearing about that. But that was primarily the conversation yesterday, and then just kind of the greeters and the luncheon, of course. But yeah, primarily just some talk about the camp that's going in there, and what we've been hearing from people around the community regarding that. Not much from the business side, mostly just feedback from community members and people in neighborhoods, you know, kind of nervous about what that could mean to their neighborhood and their community. So.
But if this brings that up, you know, that's outside of the URA, if I remember correctly. So there isn't anything, there's an action or a stance that we should be taking, in my opinion, unless the group feels differently. And Mark, you're always really good about those things. Right now, but I don't think there's anything we should be chiming in on. That said, I can tell you that I've been on dozens of group texts, getting involved with all of that, and I think there's people that are very anxious, for sure.
So on that topic, really quick, Jeff, Gretchen Bennett, she's been in our meeting before addressing this issue. She agreed to be part of the conversation in November as an update, if you want to have that. I mean, if you guys are already that engaged, I'll tell her that she doesn't need to take time, but if you want more information, she's willing to spend the time in November to update the group.
I'd like to hear from everyone else. Mark, you just want me to go ahead.
Yeah, so I think Gretchen does a great job of explaining these items, and actually, you know, I don't know if we want to go as far as getting TJ on here as well. That's his name, right? TJ, I'm not misspeaking, from the who's heading it up. I did have a conversation with them separately, and was pretty impressed by their approach on projects like these. And I think that sometimes the fears of not knowing are greater than if you did know what you would be concerned about, if that makes sense. I didn't say that well, but once you know, I think you're less concerned about what's going on. So I'm in favor of, you know, having anybody on to discuss, share information, and answer questions.
Bernie and Jason, you're both unmuted.
Were
something you
want
to add?
No, might be a good segue into also mentioning that the West Salem Neighborhood Association president, as I currently sit as the vice chair, forgot to mention that in my introduction. But our current chair, Michael Friedas, has been present at all of the community meetings in West Salem. We currently have a committee chair for the unsheltered within the neighborhood association who has put together a pretty decent report of kind of the where kind of Salem Town and people are what they're feeling and kind of the pulse on the matter. So I would encourage anybody from this group to also attend the West Salem Neighborhood Association meeting coming up on the 18th, October 18th, which is a Monday. It's always the third Monday at 7 p.m. general elections are being held for the executive committee there. But it's a good forum to continue to discuss that. Gretchen Bennett attends regularly, as you can imagine, that the unsheltered is a population is a constant topic.
And Mark, I just wanted to clarify, it's Church of the Park, and it's DJ with Church of the Park that's planning to run that.
DJ, right. I said TJ. Thank you.
Brittany, was there more you would like to add?
Oh, I always appreciate hearing from Gretchen. I think she does an excellent job. And yeah, so if she's willing to speak, I always love to hear from her.
Yeah, I will echo both Brittany and Mark's sentiment. I think it's good to have people come in and have a conversation, even though it's not part of the URA. I think that we're all involved in the URA enough to know that people are asking us questions, and it's something that could potentially affect that, even though it's outside of that boundary. It's good to have some information on it. So sure. I would third that discussion to say we're good to have it.
All right, that'll be on the agenda. Thanks.
Any more partnership? Is there anyone who can speak to any updates on what's going on there?
I can also speak to the Edgewater partners. The group continues to run and invest some money into the community. There have been some recent comments about it'd be great to see more community information boards along Edgewater, potentially more signage for opportunities for retail community. They just finished out a great partnership year with the Thursday Farmers Market as a sponsor, and I believe they continue to write articles that are available in the Westside newspaper. It comes out at the beginning of each month to keep the community up to date. But the group is open to anybody in West Salem conducting business or that has an interest in that community. So always welcome to join.
Thank you, Jason. Well, with that, we're kind of at the end of the agenda. So again, a gift of time for everyone who's on the call. The last thing is just meeting topics. If there's anyone who'd like to add a new topic of discussion for the next month's agenda for Tori, now is the time to kind of jump in on that. Well, with everyone being quiet, I'm assuming that there's no new agenda, so that is great. I also just want to quickly say before we jump off the call, thank you, Annie and Kristen, both for jumping on the call. It's always good to see you all in these discussions. And with that, if there's not anything for the good of the order, we will give the gift of time to move forward in their day. All right, everyone, have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good to see you.